This is the Future of HR Podcast, episode 108.
From a culture perspective, what's really important is purpose. Purpose first and foremost, and people really aligning to something much greater that inspires them to have curiosity and think differently. Our mission at Kohler is to help people live gracious, healthy, and sustainable lives. That's something that really inspires so many and helps them to think about how the work that they do ladders up to that work. And I think that's critical. And then we have developed what we call cultural beliefs that ladder up to that and help people to understand the things that really define us and define our culture. And then they ultimately link to behaviors and expectations within the organization. Those things at Kohler are to delight the customer, to inspire people, to boldly innovate, to own it, and to prioritize. So those things are so much more than a poster on the wall or a culture brochure, but how we bring those things to life is really what creates this culture that challenges everybody every day to continually improve and ultimately innovate.
How do you create a culture of bold innovation? How can HR leaders develop their business acumen and financial acumen? Hi, I'm your host, JP Elliott, and this is the Future of HR Podcast, the only podcast whose mission is to inspire the next generation of HR leaders. On each episode, I interview successful HR executives and thought leaders who are reimagining, rethinking, and leading our field into the future. During our candid conversations, you will learn about their career journeys, their lessons learned along the way, and their insights on how to take our field, and most importantly, your career to the next level. If you are a fan of the Future of HR Podcast, then you know that I'm a big fan of Deeper Signals. Deeper Signals is a modern scientific assessments platform that is revolutionizing the way organizations measure, manage, and develop their talent. And in the age of AI, soft skills are becoming more and more crucial. And that's why their latest innovation to the Deeper Signals platform, Skills Selector, is a game changer that we've all been waiting for in soft skills-based hiring. Here's why I'm impressed with Skills Selector. Number one, it's lightning fast. You get to assess a candidate's soft skills in just 10 minutes. It's fully customizable. You can create customized job profiles that perfectly match your company's needs and your competency frameworks. It's visually intuitive. You can compare candidates side by side instantly. And it doesn't just stop at hiring. It seamlessly transitions into personalized onboarding and development plans so your new hires can hit the ground running from day one. And the best part, it's all backed by science and cutting-edge data analytics. But don't take my word for it. Go to deepersignals.com/futurepod. That's deepersignals.com/futurepod. And try their core drivers assessment for free. It'll give you a sneak peek of the insights you'll gain with the skill selector. And they're going to give you a 14-day free trial to the entire Deeper Signals platform. Don't miss this chance to transform your hiring process. Go to deepersignals.com/futurepod today and see how Skill Selector can make your hiring smarter, faster, and more effective. Well, we're just about 3 weeks away from Elevate by Future of HR. Elevate by Future of HR is an exclusive 3-week virtual program specifically designed for next-gen HR leaders. Elevate's a flexible and targeted 3-week program featuring 17 interactive sessions, live Q&As for personalized guidance from 21 of the best minds in our field. In addition, you'll have on-demand access to all the recordings and all the sessions through March 31st, 2025. This is an incredible opportunity to accelerate your growth, elevate your career, and amplify your impact with actual insights and strategies from 21 of the top thought leaders in our field. You do not want to miss this incredible development experience. So go to elevatebyfutureofhr2024.com. That's elevatebyfutureofhr2024.com and reserve your spot today. And with that, I want to introduce this week's guest, Ginger King. Ginger serves as the Chief Human Resources Officer at Kohler, leading all aspects of HR for Kohler's global workforce of 40,000 associates. Together with her team of HR experts, she is redefining leadership and talent practices to create an engaging and inclusive workplace environment, making Kohler a destination for the world's best talent. Ginger joined Kohler in 2001 and progressed through human resources positions in Kitchen Bath Americas. And after 12 years, Ginger left Kohler to join Arian's company in the role of Vice President, Human Resources, and then Group President, Arian's Specialty Brands. In these roles, she modernized the HR functions and she gained significant P&L leadership experience. In 2018, Ginger returned to Kohler, and over the next 5 years, she held a series of HR leadership roles that culminated with her being appointed to Senior Vice President, Human Resources in 2023. As I've gotten to know Ginger, there are two things that really stand out to me. First, she walks the talk when it comes to having business acumen. And her advice on how to deepen your knowledge of the business is some of the best we've ever had on the podcast. And second, and probably most importantly, Ginger is an authentic and genuine leader whose passion for people and making a difference shines through. She is one of those leaders who makes you feel like you have known her for years, even though you just met. I think you're going to be inspired by her story and how she thinks about creating a culture of innovation. And in our conversation today, we talked about why everyone should design their own rotational program early in their career to get a variety of experiences, why HR leaders need to be able to articulate the business reasoning, purpose, and expected outcome for their initiatives, how next-gen HR leaders can develop and deepen their business acumen, why common purpose is the foundation for Kohler's culture of innovation and delighting the customer, and how her experience as a P&L owner driving a turnaround influenced her leadership style and approach to HR, and much, much more. I'd love to hear your thoughts in this episode as you listen, so drop me a line on LinkedIn or say hello. And now let's jump into my conversation with Ginger. Ginger, welcome to the Future of HR podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here with you today.
It's great to have you on the podcast, Ginger. And you've had this incredible career, not just as a CHRO and HR leader, but you've also been a business leader and a true P&L owner, which is incredible, and I think an experience that not every CHRO or HR leader gets. And we're going to hear a little bit more about that and talk more about what it's like to be a P&L owner and how that's impacted you. But I wanted to go back and talk a little more about your early career. You've really said that every person in HR should design their own rotational program, especially if you're early in your career for HR. Tell us more about what does it mean to design your own rotational program.
As I've progressed into this position, I've done a lot of reflection on meaningful moments of development throughout my career, none of which honestly were intentional at the time. And I believe that with intention, there's a great opportunity to accelerate career development towards more of the C-suite leadership positions. While I was in college, I did two internships in the HR space. They happened to be in two different industries. So I did one in professional services and I did one in industrial manufacturing. Through those two experiences, I had the opportunity to learn two industries, but I would say most importantly, I had the opportunity to find my own passion around manufacturing. And that the opportunities that come with being able to see raw materials formed into a product that then goes into market and is serviced for customers. And through that, I've now built a career in the manufacturing space. So that would be one area that I would recommend. The other was my first job out of college. I worked in a smaller manufacturing business with a largely centralized HR team. Within a 3-year period of time, I had the opportunity to specialize in compensation and benefits, in recruiting, in safety, in organizational design, all while also being a generalist to one of our plants. that was a phenomenal experience. There's a few learnings that I really take from all of those early career experiences. And those are, one, the importance of working for a leader that will challenge you and will be flexible, developing you and giving you exposure to new things. The other is really a willingness to learn. That will take you so far. So volunteering, jumping in and offering to help, asking to get involved in different things. Also, really getting comfortable with being uncomfortable when you're moving towards these different areas and opportunities. It requires you to get out of that comfort zone and learn new things.
That's really great advice. It's interesting that you found early on that you really enjoyed the manufacturing piece. Once that clicked for you, is it kind of like, hey, that's the industry I want to be in?
Yeah. There's a lot of intangibles I found in the service industry. What great looks like is largely dependent upon the customer and can be different by every customer. I just found this love around being on the shop floor and seeing that product and that consistency, I would say, in quality.
And it's so important too that you really identify and love the company, mm-hmm. right? To love the business and to really be effective, you have to be interested in the business. And so it's great that resonated for you.
Yeah.
And I've worked in companies where there are more consumer-driven products and people know, and obviously Kohler, I've got Kohler faucets in my house and other things, right? Kohler makes a lot of things. And it's like cool to be able to see that and have that kind of pride.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, you mentioned pride, JP. And one of the things I had never worked in before coming to Kohler, had not worked in a consumer-facing manufacturing area. And the first time I traveled, I had a bag with me that had Kohler on it. And it was fascinating to me how many people just stopped me in the airport to tell me about their bathroom or their kitchen. And just to see the joy that our product was bringing to people in the market was such a great feeling.
Yeah, and Kohler's a great organization with great products. And so it's it's not really surprising you stayed with them so long. Next, you did join Kohler. And over the next 12 years, you progressively moved up and around the organization. You supported different organizations, including supply chain, manufacturing, engineering, a smaller business unit, and then a larger North American regional role, which is incredible, all those different experiences. But tell us about how the breadth and depth of those experiences really impacted you, the development as a leader or HR professional.
As I mentioned previously, I did some specialization in my first position out of college. When I joined Kohler, it was in an HR business partner role, and I had the opportunities to move to various HRBP roles about every 24 to 36 months during my first 12 years with the company. And while I was able to further develop my HR skills and capabilities a bit differently in each of those opportunities, what I really learned that has proven a lot of value over time is just how the business works and how each different area comes together around the customer experience that we're designing. And through those opportunities, I had opportunities to experience things and be a part of turnarounds. One of my early experiences was to be a part of a leadership team that was turning around our consumer call center. And the opportunity to be a part of that and understand it from all aspects of the business, not just HR and people. I've been in businesses that are experiencing significant growth. I've led through the downturn in the housing market that had a significant impact on our business. I've supported the startups of new products, new channels, new businesses, and been a part of shifting distribution models, working with unions and working in non-union businesses. So all of those things collectively really level up that business acumen and your ability to understand the strategy, understand how work gets done, and how you can continually improve things from strengthening talent and improving the culture and the environment for people.
Well, what's so incredible about the experiences you've had over the 12 years is that, as you mentioned, learning being a superpower and getting comfortable being uncomfortable, you've really modeled that, right? And I think when you find an organization like Kohler or others that you can have the opportunity to move across the businesses, mm-hmm. it's such a great place to be because you're learning, you're really getting a new job, right? In some ways, you are growing and learning, but you're with the same company. So all of that reputation, all that trust is being built in the same place. And all the knowledge you have is being built upon it as you move from supply chain to manufacturing to engineering, et cetera. So that's really great. After a quick break, we'll be right back with more with Ginger King. I'm excited to let you know that I have recently put together a succession planning playbook that you can download for free at futureofhr.com. So whether you're assessing your current approach to succession planning or you're building your leadership development strategy from scratch, this playbook offers an actionable framework designed to help you understand what great succession planning looks like. So go to futureofhr.com and download the succession planning playbook today. How do you think about career development for next gen leaders? You'd say, well, gosh, Ginger, should I stay with one company and build really deep expertise and become an HR business partner? Or should I be more on the COE side? Or should I try different industries? Like, what kind of career advice do you have for next gen HR leaders when it comes to thinking about these choices?
My advice would be to experience both early in your career and to really find what you enjoy most and what you're really good at. So I probably have a less traditional view of here's all the boxes you need to check as you progress through your career. I find that when people really can find their passion and do what they're great at, the results, the opportunities, all of those things do come. One of my favorite quotes that I have displayed in my office is one by John Lennon. And it's, when I went to school, they asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wrote down happy. They told me I didn't understand the assignment, and I told them they didn't understand life. I find that when people really follow their passions, they do what they're great at, there's a joy that comes in work and life and allows you to really do your best work. I wouldn't say it's one or the other. I think it's a really personal decision based upon where you excel.
That's great, great advice. And I think what a great quote from John Lennon. I had not heard that one actually. Yeah. But I think he's absolutely right. I mean, people got to make their own path. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, it's hard sometimes to do that. But if you really love, like you did, like manufacturing, or you love being a business partner, but you think that you should take these other jobs, you know, that's not really what you should do. Like, figure out what matters to you, because happiness and your success should be defined by yourself, not whether you get a certain job title or other things happen. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I love that piece about bringing the magic in. Let's also talk about another turning point in your career, Ginger. As I understand it, the CEO of Kohler saw a lot of potential in you and asked you in one meeting, if you could have any role at the Kohler company, what would it be? Tell us more about this conversation and how you responded, because I don't think a CEO has ever asked me that question. And I think I would probably be hesitant to say all of the things in my brain around what I really want to do or not. Yes. I don't know. How did you handle that? That's a big question.
Yeah. So at the time, I was a HR business partner in one of our core businesses that was challenged. And I was asked to join a meeting to share my assessment of the talent and culture implications that may be impeding our success. Any ideas that I had from a kind of the people side of the business to accelerate our performance. It was quite an honor. It actually was my first time presenting to our CEO. So I went in nervous. I spent a lot of time preparing for that discussion. And at the end, when he asked me that, I figured it must have gone well. I did not answer on the spot. I asked him if I could get back to him and that I wanted to give it some thought. This was a big turning point in my career. I am always one to lead with humility, but it really was a confidence booster a bit for me to know that he saw potential and saw potential beyond a role in HR. Up until that point, I had never even really considered that for myself. It was a time of reflection to think about all of the different opportunities Kohler has, whether a path outside of HR interested me. I decided to reinforce my interest in HR the impact that I could have on the business from a leadership role in the HR organization. I think the important thing that came from that, you'll hear a lot when people talk about their careers, is sponsorship and mentorship. And our CEO took a personal interest in my career and really sponsored that next move for me. And within a few months, I actually moved into a regional HR leadership position with Kohler. It led me in the longer term in my career to consider other paths as I continued to progress.
Well, it's an incredible story. Obviously, he saw something in you, and I think that's come to fruition. Obviously, you had a lot of potential and he saw that, which is terrific. But as you're telling the story, Ginger, it made me think about, as leaders, right, how impactful it can be when we ask somebody and show them that we see potential. Say, hey, where do you want to go? How can I help you get there? I see a lot of potential, because a lot of times people see more potential in us than we see in ourselves. And so I think it's just really, really an amazing story that way.
Yes. Leaders have a lot of power to see the potential, but more importantly, to acknowledge the potential and help people see it for themselves as well.
I mean, you think about it as that's a turning point, which is amazing. And I think that kind of experience can be a turning point for a lot of people. So that's my message for our next gen HR leaders, to think about that power. But while you love Kohler, you had the strong desire to be a CHRO. And so you made the difficult decision to leave Kohler sometime after that to be a CHRO for a smaller business. And after a little more than 2 years in that role, you actually approached that CEO and said you wanted to run a P&L, which I think is awesome. But tell us more about what you learned in that experience as a P&L owner from a business leader perspective, and how that's really impacted you now as a CHRO of Kohler.
When I mentioned getting comfortable being uncomfortable, that's by far the greatest leap that I've made in my career. It was quite scary at the time. I was leaving my functional HR domain, leaving the manufacturing business, and leaving the kind of headquarter core business of the business that I was working in. I went to lead a portfolio of 5 distribution companies that we had recently acquired through a turnaround situation, an opportunity to really take a step back, understand where we were, understand what was needed, and put together a strategy for the future. A few things that I take from that experience was, again, the opportunity to just really take a learning mindset to everything that I was doing. I fully engaged myself in all things, learning industries, learning new products, building relationships, meeting customers, meeting suppliers. Being in a GM role for a business is very much like a generalist role. It's really important to accept where you have strength and where you don't, and to surround yourself with smart people. I did a lot of networking and upskilling of myself through networking groups in the direct marketing space and areas out of what I had known up until then. I brought in external partners to help where I did not have the strength and capability. And then I put a lot of focus on really building the best team on the field, ensuring that my team had strength in all of their functional areas. The other thing was really bringing a focus to the customer. And it's something that we had lost our way a bit, but really understanding the customer, their needs, especially their needs, their unmet needs, and then working together as a team and often with our customers as to how we could help solve those problems. And that's really where value comes and help to really form our strategy. The other thing I would say is a lot of learnings as far as you hear a lot and largely from CEOs, but it's lonely at the top. Being the most senior leader at a site and leading a business through a turnaround, I learned a lot about myself and the importance of there being more to life than work, and striking that right balance and network around myself to support my ongoing health and well-being as well. All of those things were quite formative, and many of them applicable to applying them then in an HR role as well. I have always thought of myself as a business leader first and a functional leader second. I often say I'm a business leader that happens to lead HR. This experience in leading businesses and being a GM has really helped me. One, it really helped me to solidify my business and financial acumen that I believe puts me really at a level playing field with my peers. It also has helped me to ensure that as an HR organization, we are rooting everything that we do in our mission and in the business priorities. When we ask ourselves why we're doing things, being able to articulate the business reasoning and purpose and outcome is so important. I have a deeper appreciation and understanding of the competing priorities that are happening in the business and how HR best aligns to those things so that it doesn't feel like we're just developing and implementing new programs or things that aren't necessarily aligned with business need. A lot of the work that I did in that role with customers is very applicable to the work that we do today with associates and our employees, and really understanding the needs of our employees and then involving them in the work that we're doing to improve their experiences and bringing their voices to life. That's been very impactful. And then also from a coaching and support perspective with senior leaders, doing a lot to really help them care for themselves and really build that network of support for C-suite level leaders.
Now, there's so much to unpack there. Kudos to you to say, I have the confidence to say I want a P&L role, because a lot of HR people probably wouldn't ask for that exactly. I mean, sometimes, look, we are always influencing, we're supporting, but we are behind the scenes. We're not there to make the decisions. But let's be honest with ourselves. As HR leaders, sometimes we want to make the decision. We're like, you're making a bad decision. I want to have the P&L. Like, I want to be the business owner. And so you did that, which was great. And I love that you said it's like being a generalist, because you've got to think about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And so that probably actually gave you a really good perspective of how to do that. But building the right team and having the right talent is so critical, especially when you maybe don't know that business as well. I think your focus on the customer is amazing. I think that's always the right thing to do, right? Or the associate. And then the well-being piece was really interesting too, because I think even as HR leaders, sometimes we really, frankly, in business in general, we kind of forget about that. We give so much to the company. But talk about, before we go on to some other questions, about what was some of the most challenging parts of being a P&L owner? Because you were definitely being probably comfortable being uncomfortable for quite a while in that role, I'm guessing. I mean, it couldn't have felt that easy the first 6 months.
Yeah, I would say I was uncomfortable for the full 2.5 years I was in that position. While we really did, I would say, modernize the business and improve the performance, we ultimately did make the decision to sell the companies. There was so much taken from that experience. Some of the greatest challenges were the change that was required to really transform the businesses that were traditional catalog businesses that were mailed, and moving them into a digital environment and heavy e-commerce, going to market through a sales team, helping people to understand why we had to do that. And then when I mentioned having the right team and investing in the people, there was a pretty significant skill gap in having to make that transition. But once we were able to get our full team on board and really aligned around our mission, what we were setting out to do, it was amazing to see how everybody fell into place and was eager to learn and do things in new ways. But that initial resistance was really, really hard. I would say another was the fact that there was a lot of question as to why an HR leader would be put in the role to lead the business. Some of the initial questions I got was, why did they send you? Are we going to reorganize the business? Is that why you're here? Being able to establish myself, and that did require there was a significant learning curve. That's where I probably went a bit 24/7 into learning everything I could learn, and then quickly acknowledging I wasn't going to learn at all. Taking some of my own HR advice from through my career to really build that strong team around me.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I'm sure that people were like, why is an HR person thinking you can come here and own a P&L? But obviously at Kohler now, you're back as a CHRO at Kohler. People know you have that in your background. But I do think it's always interesting because people make assumptions. We make assumptions about people in finance. Maybe they're in HR or maybe marketing. It's time in HR or finance. We don't know. But especially it's funny when people make these big assumptions like, oh, you're an HR person. Like, why don't I understand the business or P&L? Like, you've all made us proud. We're very happy for you.
Thank you.
And I think it's because you have that strong business acumen. And one of the things I am super passionate about for next gen HR leaders is to learn the business, is to develop that business acumen. And I think we don't do enough, frankly, to help people figure this out. We talk about it a lot, but there's not a lot of pathways to that. But what recommendations and advice would you give to a next gen HR leader who's trying to improve their business acumen and maybe possibly own a P&L one day?
I think it starts with whatever role you are in, really understanding the business that you are working in, how what you do is impacting the strategy, and how you add value. Not waiting for somebody to give you that context or wondering, having that natural curiosity to figure it out. There's lots of ideas I would have as to how best to do this. It all comes back to this willingness to learn and get involved. Never turn down the opportunity to go to a meeting and be a part of various cadences that exist in the business to make decisions. Go listen, learn. And I think what's really important is engaging in topics outside of just the HR topics on the agenda. Too often I will see HR leaders almost disengage during portions of the discussion that are really important until it's almost their turn. I think that's the difference between setting yourself up as this leader versus a functional leader. Make friends with your finance partners. That is really important to understand the P&L, to understand how as business decisions are made, they impact the various financial statements. And partnering with the right finance leader, you'd be amazed just as we are if somebody were to come in and sit down with us and want to learn about what we do. They're very eager to share and to teach. So finding that right finance partner. I would say building a network cross-functionally as well, making sure that you're not surrounding yourself only with HR people, but that you're really building relationships outside of the function. They come in hand so frequently when you have questions and when you need a deeper understanding of things. And spending time with people that do other things, you naturally learn about what they're doing as well. Being curious, asking lots of questions, whether that be in a meeting or a discussion as a follow-up, but if there's something you don't understand, go towards it and learn it. One of the things that I find was most valuable to me in an HR role was the work done in the recruiting space. Not thinking about it as filling a job, but really understanding the challenge that presents itself and how this role is going to make an impact. And then when interviewing and when going through the selection processes, really understanding positions that candidates have had in their past, what their greatest accomplishments were, but more importantly, how they achieved those can really teach you a lot about business. One of my first roles at Kohler was in our supply chain space, and I was there for several years. One of the greatest compliments was when a candidate I was talking to, they said something like, I had no idea you were an HR person. I thought you were actually worked in the space. And it honestly had come from the fact that I had spoken to so many candidates and learned so much from just through that interviewing space. So it's taking every opportunity that presents itself to us and using those to really broaden our own knowledge and experience.
Oh, that's great. It's a great, really great list of things to think about. And I love your point of the opportunity to not turn down a meeting or et cetera. And I would just continue to say, in fact, make your own opportunities.
Yes.
Ask to be invited to those meetings. Be the kind of leader that says, hey, intern or associate or analyst or whoever, come to this meeting just to listen.
Yes.
Right. And be like, hey, they're here learning today. They're going to hear about how we do a monthly operating review. Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. And then afterwards, what did you pick up on? Because I think the people that do that, that have that curiosity, to your point, Ginger, really go far. And a lot of times we identify them as high potentials because they are putting themselves out there, they're curious, and they want to learn. And I also think definitely make friends in finance. So that's good. Yeah. Buy them lunch.
Yes.
That's going to be the fastest way to learn the P&O.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just have get to know finance. Yeah. Let's talk more about a culture of innovation because Kohler is known for being on the leading edge of product innovation, and it does not happen by accident. So tell us more about the role that culture plays in innovation, and more importantly, what are some of the building blocks of creating a culture of innovation from your perspective?
Yeah. When many think of Kohler, they think of the bold look of Kohler, which was a marketing campaign that we ran actually back in the 1970s. That connection of bold to our brand and to the company has really infiltrated everything that we do. You mentioned product, and that's what we're most known for. But I think it's really important from an innovation perspective to understand that innovation applies to everything and to everyone. A great campaign that we ran internally and externally this past year to celebrate our 150th anniversary was around Come All Creators. We used the milestone moment in our history to really invite all of our employees to tell their stories about how they create. And that can be around creating products. It could be around creating processes, creating experiences. And it was so fascinating just to see how we innovate in so many different ways. But I think from a culture perspective, what's really important is purpose. Purpose first and foremost, and people really aligning to something much greater that inspires them to have curiosity and think differently. Our mission at Kohler is to help people live gracious, healthy, and sustainable lives. That's something that really inspires so many and helps them to think about how the work that they do ladders up to that work. And I think that's critical. We've done a lot of work in that space. Our mission historically has been like two paragraphs long and was something that not many were able to connect with. And this past year, we've really simplified it and really helped people to understand how we help this mission come to life every day. And then we have developed what we call cultural beliefs that ladder up to that and help people to understand the things that really define us and define our culture, and then they ultimately link to behaviors and expectations within the organization. Those things at Kohler are to delight the customer, to inspire people, to boldly innovate, to own it, and to prioritize. So those things are so much more than a poster on the wall or a culture brochure, but how we bring those things to life is really what creates this culture that challenges everybody every day to continually improve and ultimately innovate.
That's incredible. And number one, I should have known that Kohler has been around for 150 years. So that's amazing because there's not very many organizations that can say that are still on top of their game. And the bold look of Kohler, is that still the tagline? Right?
It still is, right? Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I was like, that resonated, but in the 1970s, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But really what I think what stuck out for me is talking about that purpose, right? And you've had this clear purpose for a long time. And then when you think about your behaviors, as you mentioned, or the values, the prioritize, I thought, is really interesting and different. Because a lot of times we don't prioritize. We always want to have more and more and more, when actually, if we were a little bit more focused, you might get more innovation. So talk more about the prioritization if you can. I think that's interesting.
Yeah. So that belief actually came out of the fact that when we develop these, we develop them with our full global organization. It's the one that I would say we needed the most work on. We acknowledged that to deliver upon what we needed to innovate in the right spaces, we had to get better at prioritization. And you're right. So many organizations, and we don't have this fully figured out. They suffer from the lack of focus and the wanting to be everything to everyone and deliver in all spaces. So this was really an invitation for the organization to really think about how do we better prioritize? so that we're doing the work that's most meaningful and brings the most value. So
that's great. Well, I'm feeling it's probably going to always be a work in progress for anybody, because we're more about addition versus subtraction in organizations. But the fact that you have prioritized becomes a conversation of, hey, should we really be doing this versus that? Which I think is always a great conversation in organizations, especially the size and stature of Kohler. Ginger, last question for you. What is one word or phrase that you believe will define the future of HR over the next 5 to 10 years?
I think the one word is disruption. As I look back, if you look back at the last 5 years, we've had pretty significant disruption. And I don't believe that it's going to stop anytime soon. I think a lot of that comes from just the pace of change around us, generational differences, more and more generations interacting together in the workplace, geopolitical impacts, technology, how we as HR leaders really learn, help the organization to anticipate how these things could impact our business and our organizations, and then really guide that work to make sure that we're prepared is really important. Coming out of COVID and the pandemic, HR has taken on an increasingly strategic role in the business. And as I look forward over the next 5 to 10 years, I see so much opportunity. So that might be the other word I would pick, is disruption, but shifting that to opportunity.
I love that. Yeah, you're right. I think as things are disrupted, there's always opportunities to do things better, different, and just continue to innovate like you guys have been doing for Kohler for so long. Well, Ginger, thank you so much for being on the Future of HR podcast. It was a great conversation.
Thank you, JP.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Future of HR podcast. Thanks again to Ginger for sharing her career insights and advice on creating a culture of bold innovation. As always, you can go to futureofhr.com to view all of our past episodes and learn more about our mission to inspire the next generation of HR leaders. And if you enjoyed this episode of Future of HR, be sure to subscribe, share our podcast with at least one other person, or even better, leave a review on Apple or Spotify podcasts. This really helps us to grow the podcast and helps with our mission of inspiring the next generation of HR leaders. And I'd like to hear from you as well, so feel free to find me on LinkedIn or drop me a line if you have ideas on how to make the future of HR even better. We'll be back next week with Reid Blackman. Reid is the author of Ethical Machines and founder of CEO of Virtue, a digital ethical research consultancy. In my conversation with Reid, we're going to discuss the role of ethics in AI and what organizations need to be doing to ensure that ethics is a part of their AI strategy. It's an episode you won't want to miss. Thanks again for listening to the Future of HR and being part of our community.